Well, definitely that word, the new age, that expression is timely because, well, we will have a new age. And someone's asking me, 21, what are you talking about? Well, first things first, a hearty welcome to you, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I've got, I can't bear news, not just any kind of news, but big news. There's something you can use, right? Anthony the Voice, back on your radio stereo, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice. Bienvenue, good evening to you. I'm sure that you're having a very good day. I'm sure you've been enjoying all we've offered. Continue to offer right on this dial, the nation's first news talk in sports. Call me the voice of Lagos. I'm here to keep you company with my goons, Femi and the gang. So yeah, we should have a party, shouldn't we? So much to talk about. We are radioactive. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Tell your enemies too. Deep in my bones,
straight from inside. I played for the Super Falcons and Gotham FC in the US. Keep listening to Femi and the Gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM.
Well, so much to talk about on the broadcast. Apologies for also starting a bit late. Our engagement with Twitter Space as we count down to the governorship election right here in Lagos warranted that we give some extra minutes, all right, for that. And so, but we'll see how far we can go, how much we can cover within the time we have got. Of course, big game tonight. Games, you reckon, in the UEFA Champions League. And so by 8:45, we'll be stepping aside for the crew to come on board and bring you live football just exactly the way you love it. All right, well, before we'll talk about what we've got on the board, let's get the guys on board. Well, you know him as a very intellectual, eclectic fellow, great guy. He's got a ridiculous laughter, but I mean, I can't remember when last I actually heard that. but well, Brownish, the cool man. What's up? How you doing, bro?
Hopefully we can hear the laughter today somewhere off camera and off air when we're watching the Champions League games after we wrap up. But
yeah, right.
It's going to be a really interesting show. I can't wait for us to dive right into it.
All right. Hodavai, how you doing, man? Good to have you on the Game On broadcast.
As always, I was expecting Brownish to do the laugh.
You know, always unexpected.
It comes when you don't know it's coming. Absolutely.
It's good to be here.
All right. Let's get things popping. Let's get things cracking. Well, so much to talk about. The Super Eagles are getting ready for the doubleheader against Guinea-Bissau as we are desperate to book our sports in the AFCON next year in Ivory Coast. Well, we hear reports the team sheet for that game will be out tomorrow. Now, talking about the squad that will be doing justice to that fixture. So we're waiting on Pesiero, the man. And I'll get to the guys later on who are some of the names you think should make that squad. Well, on the flip side, this one caught my fancy. International Federation of Football History and Statistics naming Vincent Ayama as the greatest goalkeeper of all time. Feels like something that will cost divided opinions. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Do you agree? I don't know. You'll tell me about that much later. On the flip side, we're looking forward to the big one. The quest to unify the heavyweight division is a prerogative for some people. You reckon Tyson Fury's camp and Usyk camps, you know, they have some agreement in that regard. It talks about April 29th. the possibility of this bout going down. Well, they both have started the brag, the drag, and both boxers want more before we have full agreement. We know that in terms of agreement, we're somewhere, all right? But we're not completely done. These boxers, some of them want something the other can give. We'll talk about that briefly. And of course, we'll move away from that and of course talk about Casemiro. Manchester United say they won't contest after he was sent off in that game against Southampton. He'll miss four games. The Red Devils don't think they have a strong chance of winning, and so Casemiro will be out. But the big question really is Casemiro just being reckless? Or do you think he's just being on the end of poor decision-making or poor refereeing in England? I'd like to get your take on that one. All right, and we'll talk about the Champions League much later this evening. A preview, Manchester City, RB Leipzig. Pep Guardiola says, I will be judged on my ability to bring that trophy home. Could this be that season for him? Inter Milan, Porto, and those two also have something to fight for later tonight at the Dragao. Delicately poised, right? Uh-huh. All of this and more right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. But having prepared the soup, I was told we have to force something into that soup. And that's what we'll share with you in a moment. Big news coming from FIFA. They are changing things. They are turning things around. I don't know if you agree, if you like it when you hear it. But I guess you have to wait to hear it, right? Uh-huh. And somewhere in my kitty, I have something around start one, bench one, sell one. Haaland, Rashford, Osimhen. Start one, bench one, sell one. Partey, Rodri, Casemiro. Start one, bench one, sell one. When we go pay this bill, when we're back, we'll get this show cracking proper. So stay close to your radio. Protect your radio, people. Don't move a muscle. I'll be back. That's right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Anthony the Voice, Brownish, what have I, right here keeping you company this evening. It's game on with Femi and the gang. Well, let's quickly head straight into, well, the conversation. Don't forget, you can actually share with us via Twitter, Twitter and Nigeria Info FM, and WhatsApp portal 08095975805. If you're just joining us, well, you missed a rundown of the talking points we're supposed to have on the broadcast. But yeah, now we're talking about Tyson Fury. We will talk about him and Usyk. We will also talk about Vincent Yama being named the greatest African goalkeeper by a very reliable platform, actually, International Federation of Football History and Statistics. But first, let's get started with the big news coming from the number one body that runs football on planet Earth. Well, talking about the World Cup, that to go down in 2026, for a while now, a lot of people already know that there will be improvement in terms of the number of participating teams from 42 to 48. However, there being a shake-up in the initial idea, which we're looking forward to for the World Cup in 2026 going down, which will be co-hosted, of course, by America, Mexico also. But the expanded 2026 Men's World Cup in North America will start with 12 groups of four teams from the originally planned format of 16 groups of three. So what we had before now was 16 group of three. But now FIFA is saying just an hour ago that we will have 12 groups of four teams. All right, the revised format mitigates the risk of collusion and ensures that all the teams play a minimum of three matches. With the former structure, it means that teams will play a minimum of two matches. That is three across 16 groups. But now four across 12. All right. Four teams across 12 groups. All right. So it ensures that all teams play a minimum of three matches while providing balanced rest time between competing teams. FIFA said of the format for the first World Cup to feature 48 teams. Up from 32 sides at the recent tournament in Qatar. Now, it means there will be 104 matches played, which is where the key change is coming in, which is how many more? 40 more matches to the 64 at last year's tournament. The original plan for 2026, when the World Cup will be held in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, was for 16 group of three teams, from which the top two will advance to the last 32. Now, with the new decided format, means the top two in each group will go through the knockout rounds, along with the eighth best team. Eight best top place teams. All right. As a result, the finalists and the teams finishing third and fourth will play a total of eight games instead of the current seven. that's what we have. Now, the decision comes after a dramatic group stage at the tournament in Qatar, which convinced FIFA that a rethink was needed. Now, the groups of four have been absolutely incredible until the last minute of the last match. FIFA President Gianni Infantino was speaking about this in December. Tuesday's decision was announced following a FIFA council meeting in the Rwandan capital, Kigali, at which it confirmed the next Men's World Cup final will be played on Sunday, July 19th, 2026. Now, Infantino is expected to be waving for a new four-year term as president. I mean, he stands unopposed. That's, you know, also one of the stories, by the way. But, guys, this is the key conversation. 104 games in the US, Canada, and Mexico for 2026. A group of 12 groups of four teams each, meaning a team will play a minimum of three games. Well, like we had in the just concluded World Cup. I don't know how you guys feel when you got this, the structure. How do I?
I mean, I think it's this one is. Let's assize the number of games. I think this 48, this 12 groups of four teams is a better structure than 16 of three.
13.
Because trying to wrap your head around that is a bit, you know, but this one, you know, from 48 you go to 32, 32 to 16, the normal way. But then adding 12 more teams, you know, 16 more teams actually, 32, 48. I don't know. I think for the FIFA president is looking at making a lot more money. I think money is the motivational factor behind all these expansions.
There's so many games.
And all of that. Yes, the players are not being put into consideration. I mean, they really don't care. I think it's obvious at this point that they really don't care. But For as regards making money and all of that, the outside the football pitch, it's a fantastic idea. You know, countries that haven't gone to the World Cup have a chance of getting in. I don't see any reason why Nigeria shouldn't get to the World Cup at this increase. Exactly. So, for the beautiful game and outside chances, the field, it's
and chances
beautiful.
Of progressing from the group stage, Brownish, improves also.
Pardon me. Yeah, definitely. The chances, the eight best losers, in quotes. So I think that mostly would apply to teams that were level on points with the second team,
yeah,
but
maybe
goal difference separated them. So it seems good on paper, but it's a trade-off, just as everything in life is, right? So you're taking from Paul, you're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. In the sense that they have the teams and the players have more time to rest, but in exchange they have potentially one extra game. You know what I mean? So it's like if they are, you know, there are 12 groups of four each, which means that the number of games that are going to be played, or the number of waiting times between each, between your playing your first game and your second game, is going to be a lot longer. But if you go all the way to the final, you get to play one more game, or maybe even the third place game.
Yeah.
You get to play one more game than every other person who has ever played a World Cup.
And it's not going to be 1 month again.
Exactly. And let's also not forget that this World Cup is going to be co-hosted by two countries.
Yeah.
Which means that
three.
The teams... Three countries, sorry. The US, Canada, and Mexico.
Yeah.
Now, that means that if you are one of those teams that goes eventually to the final, you're going to be traveling a lot. Do you know how big those countries are?
No, I'm reckoning that... It's only wise that there is, you know, in terms of proximity and, you know, the location of where teams will be based, will come into the conversation as,
But here's the thing, because Canada and Mexico are at two different ends of the US, and the US is wide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the problem is.
I mean, maybe, you know, the thing, that's, like you said, that time space where you have like 2 or 3 days free can help
to move
in
around.
Your travel.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, regardless of. Because the US has a lot of time zones.
Yeah.
So regardless of how many days you have to. You're forgetting that these players also have to cramp in recovering from jet lag. They have to cramp in recovering from their last game, and then they still have to train for the next game in the space of what, max 3 or 4 days. You know, so it's going to be incredibly strange. And I see what they're doing about increasing the size, but it would have served more if we, like you said, if they were actually thinking about the players, it would have served more that, okay, so we're doing this in the same way we made allowances for the World Cup in the UAE.
Yeah.
We should also make allowances for the World Cup in the US, Mexico, and Canada by making the rest days a bit longer. As opposed to the number of teams. But what they did was they found a way to balance out the rest days with making money. So the days when you get to rest, when you're just calm and before you go on your trip, then you have to recover from, all of that is covered because other people are going to be playing games within that time. And then maybe you might have 1 or 2 rest days after that before the cycle starts all over again for the second number of match days.
Once it gets to round of 16,
exactly.
It's normal.
Yeah. So they've almost turned the World Cup into the Europa League.
I think that's what it is.
If we're being very honest.
That's what it is.
Right?
Round of 32.
So it's like, and then the question then starts. When it then comes, so a lot more teams are going to get, you know, the opportunity to be at the World Cup. But does that sort of sully the pool of quality that comes to the World Cup as a result?
Are we going to have a reminiscence of what we've just had in Qatar by the time we have more diluted teams?
Exactly. So the pool of the quality that comes in. On the other hand, it could be in the other way where we saw Saudi Arabia beat Argentina.
Yeah.
If they had not made it to the World Cup, we would never have
seen that.
But here's the thing. The thing was, for Saudi Arabia to make it to the World Cup, they were a champion nation. Which means that anybody at the World Cup, regardless of the FIFA rankings, should be able to give anybody a run for their money.
On the bright side, some players will, the highest goal scorer will probably have like 10 or 15. Mbappe against that.
Exactly. You know, so... But here's the thing. The thing is, I think the success in Qatar was just overwhelming. And then FIFA, as a result, are like,
is FIFA too,
marketing.
Are they too carried away?
Not too carried away. But the thing is, you're never going to replicate that until you go back to the UAE. You know why?
To put too much, they're maybe too fascinated about the success and they're looking to put too much in the pudding. I don't know.
Mm. for them now is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because financially it does more for, you know, the World Cup.
Right.
Because I think Infantino has tasted the kind of money he can make from a World Cup.
He's not even there.
And he's like, nah, the only way I can replicate this kind of money, because the US are not going to pump as much money as the Qataris
did. Yeah.
The only way I can make this is through viewership. The only way I can make... And if you're doing it, and I think this is the perfect time for them to launch it, because they're coming off the bounce of the most iconic World Cup that has ever happened in general. Even across the world, we were feeling the echoes of how good the World Cup was. So now he wants to bounce off of that and possibly make more profits and justify why he wants to do this. This is the perfect time for them to do that if you are going to do it.
Alright, well, we'll see about that. Do share with us what you make of this. We'll get to the phone lines very quickly. 12 groups of 4, 104 games, 12 groups of 4 teams, 104 games, and 8 best third place teams will join the top two across these 12 groups into the round of 32 and all of that. To also go with the tides, talking about the World Cup, well, we hear that Morocco have now replaced Ukraine, all right, in a Spain-Portugal World Cup B for 2030. They've been gunning to host the World Cup. I think they've had 5 unsuccessful bids. And now they will be taking the place of Ukraine to co-host Portugal and Spain. We know they're border countries to Morocco. So, I don't know. If they do this, it will be groundbreaking. Already, they're the most successful African team at the World Cup as we speak. So, I think they have the right... All right, to go for this.
Africa, are we going to claim it?
Call us up if you can. 0700-993-993-993. What do you make of this rejig of some sort by FIFA to the structure of the FIFA World Cup in 2026? Rather than 3 groups of 16 groups of 3, now it's 12 groups of 4. It feels like it has more balance now, which I think is what they're also looking forward to. You can also share with us via our WhatsApp portal. Let me have a glance of that number again.
0809-597-5805.
All right. Let's see if we can take a couple of calls very quickly. 0700-993-993-993. Talk to us, Lagos, Nigeria. What do you think? Are FIFA doing the right thing? Does it make sense to you? Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, The Voice.
Friday, talk to us.
Yeah, good evening, everybody in the house. See, The Voice. Small time now, FIFA will turn World Cup to Olympic. See, where we are going, we are going in Olympic way.
I can imagine.
Everybody will just come if you qualify. Every country will just come with how many athletes you have. Maybe we can be going there with 2 national teams to enhance your chance of winning. But The Voice. Hello?
Yes. Where with you?
You said about Yama.
Yeah.
Are you doubting it? Because I think there was a season when Yama had the most clean sheet in the French league.
Yeah, correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
And
with Leo.
Won the Champions League with Eibar back to back. He moved a step further. Won the Nations Cup with Nigeria. He had a successful career because you see all our other goalkeepers. I never see Africa great goalkeeper from Africa. We are not too blessed with a great goalkeeper. The only goalkeeper we look up to was this Chelsea goalkeeper from Senegal. But you only have 2 seasons.
Are you forgetting the legendary Usman El Hadri of Egypt, who won how many? 4? 4 AFCONs?
We are talking of Yama was... You see, that 2002 World Cup, after the injury to Ike Choromu, Yama had a good show, especially, was it not against England? So, and against Argentina.
Yeah.
So, the guy is good. We cannot take it away from him. He has traveled all over the world. All other African goalkeepers, you are saying, they did not make so much impact in Europe.
Alright.
For Yama, Yama deserves it.
He deserves it. All right, thank you very much, Friday, for that. You can also have your say on that. I don't know, Branch, do you agree?
About Iyaba? Yeah.
The greatest African goalkeeper of all time?
I have bias because I didn't see the Egyptian goalkeeper, one. And then number two... Because at that point in my life, I was not really interested in African football and in general. It was more European.
Okay.
But what I did see was that every World Cup where Messi had to face Iyaba, Messi suffered.
So is it? Okay. Okay.
And considering the fact that I consider him to be the greatest player who has ever played the game,
if
he struggles against a goalkeeper,
you
know that this goalkeeper, I mean, I saw saves that Iyaba pulled off against Lionel Messi.
Mm.
And not many goalkeepers can actually boast of that. And then like Friday said, he went to the French League and he was not playing for PSG. And managed to get the most clean sheets in a season.
Mm.
Come on.
Just to add some of the names that, you know, join Vincent in that category, because the international football statistics didn't just talk about the greatest of all time from Africa. They talked about José Luis Chilavert. Many remember the goal-scoring goalkeeper for Paraguay. That's Kielo Navas for the CONCACAF region. Mark Bosnich for the Oceania. Gianluigi Buffon for UEFA. And Mohamed Abdulaziz Al Dayer of Saudi Arabia for the Asian continent. So it is a cast of top goalkeepers.
Yep.
I don't know if you
El Hadary.
Yeah.
You don't think we're El Hadary?
Thomas Nkono, you know, some other really big African goalkeepers.
El Hadary. You know, with Egypt, that time where they won the AFCON back.
Wow.
Kielo Navas won the CONCACAF. What happened to Ochoa?
I think he's bigger. I mean,
Egypt will play a game, Tony, and when he gets to penalties, don't bother,
right?
He turns into, believe this thing Martinez did in the World Cup. When El Hadary was, you just know it's over. Cote d'Ivoire will go and lose. They were just, you know, he was something else.
Yeah.
I hear El Hadary, you know that when Al Ahly played, I think only once or twice where we had to get past them with Ayimba.
Mm.
I was always, because we had Ayinugba then.
Yeah.
So that was probably the only thing we had, but he was something else.
Mm. But you agree, Vincent Iyaba, greatest African.
Yes. Actually, El Hadary didn't do much outside the African continent.
The biggest
continent.
Team he ever played for was Lille.
I mean, and he did well with them. He
won. because Lille was, at the time, Lille was top four.
Yes, because Osasi was.
Yeah. And
he held a record, longest period without conceding at the time. I don't know if that record has been broken yet.
Yeah, he held that record.
So it was fantastic.
All right. We've got some bills to pay. We'll go do that when we come back. I will talk more. Tyson Fury, listening to Usyk. You can also feel free to talk to us about all of the talking points. We've talked about the new change to the structure for the FIFA World Cup in 2026. 12 groups of 4 teams, 8 best third place teams joins them in the round of 16. 104 games. It's going to be a lot of games. I don't know how. In terms of coverage, Brownish, I mean, that's one hell of a
coverage. I'm looking for the way that I can spend as much time in the US, Canada, and Mexico as possible. I'm all for it.
All right, let's go for this time, but we'll be right back. Keep your messages coming. We'll take them once we're back from the break. The talk, they say, is cheap. All right, you have to do the talking in the ring. But talking in boxing is a part of the game. Many say he will do to Usyk what he couldn't do to Anthony Joshua, talking about Tyson Fury. Everybody have what they have in terms of their opinions about this bout and what it could present for boxing, the heavyweight division particularly. But one thing is sure, this bout, hopefully, if it happens, will be a record-breaking fight.
Sure, I'm convinced he wants to fight me. I want to fight him. And if I'm not fighting Tyson Fury, I'm not fighting at all.
Usyk, you're next, little bitch. You're next. You are next.
Big, too strong, too smart, in and out of the ring.
All this nonsense about get on and whatever else. Do you want to fight this fella or not?
15 stone little midget.
bodybuilder. Well, I ain't a bodybuilder, soccer. I'm going to write you off.
So Fury will walk through him because he's got everything. He'll do to Usyk everything that Anthony Joshua could not do.
Awesome trailer there for you, so we look forward to that. But of course, one man is on top of the world. He's got 70-30 share of the pause for that fight. Tyson Fury, he's a baller. I mean, he's the biggest boy now, right? 70-30. And in the last few days, both boxers have been exchanging a lot of, I don't know, crazy words, insulting words on social media. And Tyson Fury was actually mocking Usyk's agent, called him the worst agent in history for agreeing a fight of 70-30, where he's getting as much as 70 and 30. As a matter of fact, Tyson Fury came out in the last few hours to say, "You, Usyk, you know what? Let's forget a rematch clause. Let's fight this once and for all. Whoever wins, wins." I would have loved to play the voice of Tyson Fury talking about this, but you know Tyson Fury, he says a lot of curse words. But he's making the offer to Usyk and his team. Waive a rematch clause. And this is me wondering, is this sane? Should Usyk ever consider fighting Tyson Fury without an option of a rematch clause? Usyk came out to also, I mean, label him greedy belly and all sorts of crazy words. He's told him that, hey, if I agree to this, you will give the Ukrainian people £1 million. And for every day you delay in terms of this, of signing the final agreement for this fight, 1% of your purse will be going to the Ukrainian people. For many who don't know, all of this while, after that, after his last bout, Usyk against Joshua, he's been involved in a lot of work with the Ukrainian people in the wake of the issues they have been facing. He's been working, giving back to his people, helping to also contribute to the rebuilding of a country which have gone through a lot. But he's putting that aside and he's saying, listen, if you want me, all right, to waive a rematch clause, you will pay the Ukrainian people £1 million. And for every day this deal continues to stall, 1% will go to the Ukrainian people. Generally, according to reports, he is not comfortable with that clause. He doesn't want that clause where you say he doesn't get the rematch option. He sent a video saying, I mean, Tyson Fury, you're coming to me talking about a rematch clause, waiving a rematch clause, but your team put it in the paper. So what are you saying? And the question now really is, do you think Alexander Usyk should accept a waiver of the rematch clause? Is this a temptation? He desperately wants this fight. It's 30% in terms of his post share. He's not taking it back. He will do it. He will take the money, whatever it is, but he wants to unify the division. And Tyson is coming with the option that, listen, if you're ready to waive a rematch clause, then let's deal. Hodavai, is this a decision you think Usyk should take?
He shouldn't. I don't think he should. He should waive the rematch because Fury is slippery, very slippery guy, smart guy. He can beat him in a one-off, and that's the end. And he will continue to talk and talk. And Usyk will probably regret that later on. So fights, yes, you lose, you win, go for a rematch. More money for you still. Because he's getting 30% now. Let's assume he wins. Fury gets a rematch. There he has a higher.
He has the bargaining power.
Has the bargaining power now. I have all the titles. So we have to get to a level playing ground then. But do a one-off and you lose, you have to start basically from scratch. And he would not want that. So don't fall to whatever Fury is saying. Fury has his way with words. Probably want to get you angry, get you incensed to say, okay, screw everything, let's do this. But don't. do not. Yes.
Do not take it. Brownish, you think so too?
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I feel like that's a tired defeatist in mentality, if you ask me. Because saying that, oh, don't take it, because, I mean, if you take it, then that's what Tyson Fury wants. Mm. Give him what he wants. It's not like you're going into the fight thinking that, I might probably lose and then I'll come back for a rematch.
Fury will beat him all.
I doubt that, because here's the thing. Alexander Usyk said, and I'm just quoting him here, he said, I mean, you're saying, oh, let's leave the rematch close, but your team put it there.
Yeah.
What kind of mind games are you playing? Right? It's basically... I personally feel like Tyson Fury doesn't think he can win that fight.
Mm.
He's just trying to get Usyk's head. Because we know that Tyson Fury is really good with his fist. He can take a blow and stuff like that. But Usyk is also a brawler.
Mm.
Usyk doesn't want to know who you are. He doesn't want to know where you're from. And he has stated he's not like he's saying, oh, I'm not going to do it. He has stated his claws. Yusef, you want to change the contract now, right? All right. Okay, let's change it.
Let's start changing
right?
it.
First things first, the Ukrainian people, let me use you and do my social donations. Ukrainian people get £1 million, right, off the bat.
Mm.
Then after that, if I agree to this thing and you don't sign that
For every day it stalls
1%. So you're getting 70%. Now I agree, that's cool. But by the time you wait an entire week, you're getting 63%.
I mean, Just like
Esha
that.
Kurebaka, that's what Oge Megi Vum. That's literally what it is. Mm-hmm. So I like the way Alexander Usyk is. He's like, look, if you agree to these terms, then let's do it. I'm not scared of you. I feel like I'm going to beat you up. That's why I'm okay. I want to unify this belt and I don't plan on unifying it under you.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? That's why the entire bout is about, right? And then here's the thing. The thing is, you can still later renegotiate a comeback, right? Say, oh, it's not a clause.
Yeah.
But what Tyson Fury wants to do is he wants to take away the bargaining power completely.
From him.
But the thing is, it could backfire. Because he might need the bargaining power much later if they brush up.
Because you never know.
Because it's boxing.
It's boxing.
You could go into the fight and your slipperiness no work that day.
And something happens.
Swerve like a butterfly sting like a bee. Your stinger don't break. They brush you. You pass. Because everybody expected that, you know, that against Deontay Wilder, he would have so much of a
or
top Usyk fight.
Against Joshua.
Or Usyk against Joshua.
Many expected
and
Joshua
And none
too.
Of those games, none of those happened. Bouts actually happened the way we expected it to.
Yeah, true.
Right? Joshua, true. They brought Joshua 2 times. Now, the one where they pay me. So this Usyk guy is very clear about what he wants.
Yeah.
I will agree to your terms.
Mm.
But since you want to change the terms, let me also do it in such a way. And here's the thing. The thing is, saying that his agent is the worst agent in the history of boxing is petty. Because there's no way he would have actually inked that deal without Usyk's full knowledge and approval. Usyk has made it clear. And that's the scary thing for Tyson Fury. He's not just doing it about the money. He's doing it about the fact that he wants the bragging rights of having all the belts under him.
Money.
And he has beaten every single heavyweight that matters.
Mm.
And that's the thing. When you meet people that it's all about the recognition, it's about the clout, it's about the...
Fear them, bro.
Exactly. They're not doing it for the money. You can fight for the money and lose for it. Personally, I feel like AJ can't afford for the money.
Mm.
But it is what it is, right? That's also a motivation if you've been broke. But keeping it moving. For people like Usyk, it's like, I want to be named the heavyweight champion of the world. And I can't do that. And you're the prey in my sights, and I'm going to take you down. That's basically what he's telling Tyson Fury.
Wow. So much to talk about as regards this bout. Boxing journalist Mike Bensing actually tweeted, I think that was earlier today, saying that, Usyk has only accepted 70-30 post split for the Tyson Fury fight. If it happens on April 29th, his promoter Alex Krasiok has clarified that all the conditions accepted by Usyk are only for April 29th. If it moves just one day, he's going to change it to a 50-50 split. So it's really complicated at the moment. Yes, we have a date, but it's not
set in stone.
It's not setting stone right now, because there's still a lot of what ifs from both sides.
And the contract hasn't been signed, let's not forget.
Yeah, but there have been conversations around it, and it looks like it's changing every day. One boxer is bringing something else into it, particularly Tyson Fury, who is saying, I don't want a rematch clause. I don't know. Talk to us. What do you make of this? If you were Usyk, would you take this? Given that you're desperate to unify the division, remember, it's beyond the money for Usyk. Would he take such a gamble to fight?
First-hand deal.
Yeah. I don't know. 0700.
What is it?
It's a first-hand deal.
Yeah. 0700-993-993-993. And for the ladies, 0146-57190. Let's talk boxing. Take it in, but don't look down. I'm on top of the world. Hello, good evening to you. All right, call us back if you can. Let's see if we've got a couple of messages on WhatsApp. Yeah, yeah. Someone says, hello, Femi and the gang. The last two games, okay. I think Usyk will win this one, and Victor Ayama is the GOAT of African goalkeepers. Abdurrahman from Ikorodu. Thank you very much. All right, let's see who is talking to us. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello.
Yeah, talk to us. What's your name?
Yes. Yeah, good evening. Dave.
Dave, let's hear you.
Yes. Usyk should accept whatever Tyson Fury is giving to him.
Whatever?
Yes, because Tyson Fury is the biggest boxer right now.
True that.
I'll give you.
Even him now. Even Usyk, let me tell you the truth.
Mm.
If you put AJ together with Usyk, they will not reach around 7. They will not. Even this Usyk, he will not even reach around 5.
The AJ that he defeated.
Yeah, he will not reach around 5. What is it? Because AJ is weak.
Who's expert?
Wow, which kind of anime you to watch? He said because AJ is weak. Where in this dimension is AJ weak?
AJ can't even reach around 3 with Tyson Fury.
Hmm.
Telling you the truth.
Hmm.
Tyson Fury, the only boxer that can stand Tyson Fury is only the wider. Even all this that I mentioned, the wider. It cannot.
Hmm.
So let him whatever he needs to do. Because Tyson Fury have seen that this one, he doesn't need to fight in the second round. Because let me tell you the truth, that fight is not richer than 7. That's the truth.
All right. Thank you very much. Big Talk says it won't reach round 7. Do you think that Usyk should accept to waive a rematch? 0809 Brownish
0809-597-5805.
All right, you can share with us via WhatsApp. Let's quickly move away from this. And yeah, it's not really the best of time for Casemiro. After making that move from Real Madrid. Yeah. Tough times for the man.
Will the legends of Brazilian football see the current team take all 3 points? Marquinhos, Vinicius, it'll touch through Casemiro! Brazil celebrates again. Casemiro with the goal.
Well, I did share with you earlier on that Manchester United have decided not to appeal against the red card shown to Brazil midfielder Casemiro in Sunday's new draw to Southampton. United believe there was a little chance of the decision being overturned. Casemiro will now serve an immediate 4-match domestic suspension. The additional game comes because it is his second dismissal of the season following that red card against Crystal Palace in February. So he's going to miss FA Cup quarterfinal against Fulham, Premier League games against Newcastle, Brentford and Everton. Casemiro is across European leagues, over 500 games in the European top flight without a red card prior to his joining Manchester United. Now he has 2 in how many months? 2 months or 3 months. United manager Erik ten Hag was actually very, very upset while speaking to the press after that game. Quoting what the manager says, he plays tough, but he plays fair. Also, in this, he's playing fair, same as against Crystal Palace, so it's very debatable When you freeze it, it looks bad. But everyone knows something about football. Who is acting on top football? They know what is bad and they know what isn't bad, what is fair. I tell you, Casemiro is a really fair player, tough but fair, and it shows. Over 500 games in big leagues and he's never been sent off. Guys, really, for this Casemiro issue, Brownish, like I did ask, would you say Casemiro is just being reckless or he's just being on the end of poor refereeing, inconsistent refereeing decisions in England? And I mean, now he's missed how many? He'll miss about six league games now. In a 38 league campaign, you missed 6 games due to suspension.
The first one, wasn't it 3?
Yes, 3 games.
This is 4 now, 7 games.
This is 4, but 1 will be in the FA Cup, so 6.
Yeah. So personally, I think the 500 games before and not getting a red card was a bit of unjust refereeing, if you ask me. Because I have experience.
Because you felt there were challenges.
Challenges he made.
Are you saying this because you're a Barca fan?
No. And this wasn't mostly even against me. Mm. Albeit the fact that Casemiro did make quite a few tackles. Oh yeah. And then here's the thing, because the likelihood of VAR checking in certain VAR just became more comfortable nowadays.
Mm.
Right? Before VAR, Casemiro has been doing these things, but he's a very smart.
So you're saying he's been doing it and getting away with it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and he does it so frequently that you can't help but notice it. But the thing is, he does space it out, but he's very aggressive in his tackling style.
Mm.
Right? And you see it even in players like Gavi, you know, anywhere else in the world, if they are tackling like that, you're going to be getting strict sanctions except for maybe in the Serie A, because, you know, in Serie A, they can be absolutely bonkers when they choose to. But yeah, you know, in the La Liga, there's a lot less protection, especially from most referees, because if you're going to perform in the La Liga, you have to actually, I don't know how to put it, hardly influence the referees. And then in the Champions League, you have to do a bit more to influence the referees, and you can't even afford to rely on that. But in the English Premier League, anything goes, right? You can dive, we've seen very, very atrocious calls.
Mm.
But I would say the way Casemiro defends and the way he plays has not changed.
Mm.
The only difference is that now he's in a league where even the, in quotes, smaller teams, the fans of the, in quotes, smaller teams have enough of a TV presence and a viewership presence that they can make an outcry when he makes these kinds of tackles. You know, if he's in the La Liga and he makes a tackle against a Betis player, there are not many Betis fans around the world that would point back to that and say, oh, I remember when Casemiro did this. But against a Southampton player, you're more likely to see people who might not be supporting Southampton traditionally, but they know Southampton and they like certain players there, and they are more likely to call out that, oh, this tackle was really bad, right? And the English Premier League, obviously.
So basically you're saying Casemiro is a reckless player who have been getting away.
Not reckless, but like Eric Ten Hag said.
If you want to say something, say it with your
No, I'm not saying he's reckless, because those tackles are necessary. The thing is, the follow-through is the problem. And it has happened. The first one was just his temper, obviously. I mean, his temper has always been bad. But the second one was the follow-through. And we saw a tackle like that. I think it was a Liverpool player. It might have been Jordan Henderson that wasn't sent off for that. But the thing is, there are some things. We've seen Tyrell Malacia give Iwobi an injury and not get sent off.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Licha actually use his studs to kick Harry Kane in the face and he didn't get sent off.
Mm.
But these things, after a while, when VAR reviews them,
yeah,
more often than not in the English Premier League, because VAR has more power in the English Premier League than anywhere else, I mean, it tends to go badly for the player. And Casemiro is not used to that yet. He will adapt, but hopefully not until the end of next season. May he call it another one.
Mm. All right. Well, let's see. 0700.
Hopefully Europe this time.
993-993. This Casemiro just, I mean, being reckless, but I mean, it's quite ironical when you say he's played over 500 games in the top flight without a red card, and already in one season he's had 2 already. So is it?
Go don't catch up.
Is Man United bringing a different part of him?
That'd be the problem.
Yeah, you know?
No. Like, I think it's the inconsistency of the
decision making.
Yes. Brownish has mentioned it. There are several instances. Even this weekend, we saw a tackle on Yao Felix. Nothing was given for that tackle. Studs up on the ankle, straight on the ankle. Nothing was given. Then Casemiro has a challenge.
Just
yes,
fuels
he got
that.
The ball, but the follow through was bad. VAR went to check it. They give that as a red card. There's no consistency. Okay, if what is good for the goose should also be good for the gander. You know, if you're giving a red
for the
one,
goosa.
Let it just spread round so that there will be no, you get giving this or you're not giving this one. That's the inconsistency. Casemiro, like you said, has played 500 games, over 500. He didn't get a straight red card in Madrid. Got maybe a couple of two yellow cards.
That's
now in England,
crazy.
That one against Crystal Palace, everybody was fighting. But as you know, they caught him. You know, this person that
who they catch,
you get. So he has been unlucky, very unlucky. It's not like he's not a player who comes onto the field to want to break somebody.
He's not Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm
being honest,
he's an empathetic player.
You could see how sad he was. Yeah, he wanted you understand. He was like, no. He knew some players are rough.
I'm sure
Nainggolan, Vidal, these guys would walk up the pitch. Okay, it don't happen.
I'm sure he was thinking his mind. Hey, this is not even the worst one I've done in my career now.
I don't do so many
when I don't do anything. All of a sudden, people are switching up. You like when you started a date, babe? Before she didn't like cook for you. All of a sudden, make her not talk with you now. If I talk now, they will come for me.
993. Let's see a couple of calls. Has Casemiro just been reckless, or he's unfortunately being on the end of some poor decision making, refereeing decisions in England? Hello, good evening to you. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
My name is Emmanuel. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Talk to us quickly.
Diary free Anthony Pello is very biased. He was fit to run to the VR to check for the tackle, but when the penalty call came, he went to the VR to check. So biased. I was so disappointed with his attitude towards Marine, honestly. But that penalty call, I was expecting him to go to VR to check.
To also check it.
So biased, honestly. That tackle, I don't know why he should give a card to...
To Casemiro. Alright, thank you. Thank you very much, Emmanuel. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good evening to you. Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, what's your name?
My name is Damilari from Ikoyi.
Damilari, talk to us.
You see, sometimes when your village will follow you, something like this can cause a red card.
Imagine
Barca and Arsenal playing, because Barca could not hear the referee blow whistle, they gave him a red card. So referee, sometimes it depends on waiting to eat comfy.
The mood of the referee on that day.
The mood of the referee on that day.
But it shouldn't be now, right?
Just ordinary jersey pool like this, they can give you a card.
Yeah.
It was a match. I think it's Milan back Barca. The ball has got left in the corner kick. They blew penalty. Can you see referee sometimes? The corner kick has not been taken over. Just because they are dragging Messi, they get penalty. See, so
you don't think that Casemiro is being reckless?
That tackle, he got to the ball first, I swear. Because that ball was up, his two legs were up. Okay, for instance, check the player. Did he spend up to 10 minutes on that?
No, you can't judge it. You can't judge it that way. You can't judge it by how long the player spends on the turf.
They just want to buy that for him. He was just rolling on the floor, rolling, checking. I'm a footballer now.
Yeah, okay.
My teammate. What was the referee doing? He's about to do
it. I was rolling again.
He just was looking at me in pain. I was just like, is he doing it a red card? So yes. I just dressed myself up.
And then.
Red card. Don't go. So that's how
you
see sometimes.
All right. Thank you.
Sometimes you just touch my stomach. I'm just rolling on the floor.
This guy, Neymar.
It depends how the referee is.
All right.
Sometimes you may be rolling, the referee will just look at you and just say,
let it go.
No card. Sometimes, but the tackle, he goes to the ball first. I'm an Arsenal fan. He goes to that ball first.
All right.
So when the referee just...
Follow through for a break, person leg.
And that's what many people kept on saying. He got to the ball first, but he didn't really get the ball.
You don't know that thing.
It was a
still image. No. Still, that's one thing Ten Hag mentioned. The still images tell a totally different story.
Absolutely. Let's go pay this bill. When we come back, we'll talk the Champions League and, of course, take more of your messages.
Different manager long time ago, so I don't pay any attention about what happened there. So the first half we were better, the second half they were better. We saw the game, we tried to figure out what we're going to do and try to adjust a few things that maybe can help us to have more control and play a little bit better.
Is tomorrow night about you getting as much control as possible rather than letting it be end to end?
Always, I believe the transition games always is a coin, you know? Can go in your favor, or but it's a knockout game, and maybe the game we need to break more the game, maybe don't. We'll see. At the end, the game will dictate a little bit what you have to do.
The World Cup, everyone saying, lots of people saying, he must win to complete his career. And for me, it was crazy. So you really think that the balance of your huge work here for the public opinion, it's only about winning this cup or not? Because after the World Cup, people were still saying Maradona is better than Messi, for example. So you think for the public opinion, everything is about this cup?
Yes.
Simply yes.
Yes.
And why? It's strange, I think, because there's lots of work in these years.
I have a tour of public opinion. That doesn't mean that we change it. I agree with that, but absolutely. Absolutely, we'll be judged for that competition. Yeah, definitely. Because since day one arrived here in the first game in Champions League, they asked me when just arrived, landed here, sitting for the first time, you are here to win the Champions League. I said, what? So I was manager for Real Madrid, that this is not going to happen, but I could understand. But here, I don't know, but I accept it. So as much you go through, it's not going to change that. Yeah, definitely.
Well, sometimes it's quite exciting to listen to the exchanges between journalists and managers in a press conference situation. Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Anthony the Voice, Brownish, what have I? A Champions League preview. Just having to get you the voice of Pep Guardiola when it was asked by a journalist. In the court of public opinion, you will be judged by your ability to win the Champions League. And Pep Guardiola agreed, saying that clearly he will be judged by his legacy at City, will be judged by the ability to win this elusive Champions League, which seemed to become very difficult in comparison with the quality of team they have got on parade. It's becoming rather shocking how this competition is becoming a real struggle for Pep, a man who've won it multiple times, and a team that is arguably the strongest team in terms of balance across the world of football. But do you agree his legacy, for a man who have achieved so much at City, do you agree that his legacy will be judged by his ability to bring this cup home? The man agrees. From a manager's perspective, talked about when he first came to the club, it was the big goal for them. Brownish, I don't know. Pep has achieved a lot at City in a short time. But to say that his inability to win the Champions League will negate all he has done at the club, I don't know how that sounds. But for you, do you think all of his legacy will be judged by his ability to win this trophy?
Well, to be honest, I personally don't believe that it should, but should and will are two different things.
Right.
In the sense that, regardless of however we might look at it, the court of public opinion will make up their minds for themselves.
Mm.
Now, first things first, I agree. Pep Guardiola has done quite a lot for Manchester City while he has been there at Manchester City. But the thing is, with Pep Guardiola and the kind of the caliber of manager that he is, he will not just be satisfied. He personally will not just be satisfied with being a great Premier League manager. He wants to be referred to and thought of as a world-class manager. Now, how do you be thought of as a world-class manager?
You have to win the biggest trophies.
You have to win the biggest trophies. And it doesn't get bigger than the UEFA Champions League, especially considering the dominance that his entire team consistently shows on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that Manchester City has the ability to railroad teams off the road and out of the Champions League, but got to the semi-finals while unable to beat Real Madrid from a dominant, advantageous position,
true,
and then still got to the Champions League final and were unable to beat a Chelsea that were considerably less quality than they were, would always be a stain on Pep Guardiola's image, so to speak, when it comes to, you know, his sporting accolades. And the fact is, they likened it to the Messi-Maradona situation. If Messi, even as Messi has won the World Cup, people still liken him to Maradona, say Maradona was better at it. But the thing is, he has won the World Cup. If he hadn't, it would have been so much worse. Now, Pep Guardiola wants to win the Champions League without having Lionel Messi on his team. And that on its own, with City, he has done everything he can in the English Premier League. If he never wins an English Premier League title again,
he's one of the greatest already
to have done it.
Yeah.
Right? But in the Champions League, he needs to do it again, and he knows, because life is not fair. And if you're waiting for fairness, then you're probably never going to live life. But the fact is, he acknowledges that the first... He shocked himself.
Yeah.
When he got to City and they said, oh, your priority is to win the Champions League, he was like, what? This is a team that have just won the Premier League once in the last how many years?
Yeah.
And my priority is to win the Champions League. Okay, let's build it. Let's go. I know that life is get as if I knew what I was signing up for when I came. And he has succeeded in building a team that can challenge for it. But the mentality is the problem. And I think... he's the only person in that side that has ever won a Champions League. He's got to drill it into them. If he doesn't, then that will always be a blight on his stature as a manager.
It's open to public opinion. That doesn't mean that we change it. I agree with that. But absolutely. Absolutely, we'll be judged for that competition. Yeah, definitely. Because since day one arrived here in the first game in Champions League, they asked me when just arrived, landed here, sitting for the first time, you are here to win the Champions League. I said, what? So I was manager for Real Madrid, that this is not going to happen, but I could understand, but here, I don't know, but I accept it. So as much you go through, it's not going to change that, yeah, definitely.
Well, they've got a fate with destiny later tonight against RB Leipzig. Samuel and Daisy Michael have got that covered for you right here on 99.39 during full. On the flip side, Porto up against Milan. Solitary strike by Lukaku from the first leg at the Olimpico. Is what I think Giuseppe Meazza, did I say the Olimpico? Yeah, is what Inter Milan will be taking to the second leg of their Stadio do Dragao. This one should provide us something really good to look forward to. Let's not forget that Sergio Conceição's side had a man down in that game. So, Otavio was, I think, yeah, he was actually sent off in that game. Hotavai, how's your mind working as regards this game? Inter Milan have got an edge. Porto, very established team in the Champions League. They always show up. Yeah, I mean, this is the point where you think for Inter Milan, they need to show that they have a place here. Haven't won the Scudetto. Now it's all about making... you know, a statement in this competition.
Yes, they need to make that statement. And they have seen Napoli have one leg in, pending tomorrow's tomorrow's game. AC Milan are into, so they would want to also represent. It's very important. They haven't had a very good season, a lot of inconsistency in and around. But with that first leg advantage, which I feel they should have even, you know, done a lot better. They can come here and fancy their chances. The Dragao isn't the way it used to be. I remember back in the day when you're coming to the Dragao, it's a problem. If you're coming with a goal lead, you're in trouble. I remember the season United had to bank on Ronaldo's long-range strike, you know, to break the tie. So it's not the way it used to be. They can fancy their chances, and I they should qualify. All things being equal, on but they should. Inter Milan.
Well, Inter Milan.
Yes,
okay.
They should.
No, against Barca.
They should, because Porto are good. Porto have been very good this season. From defense, their goalkeeper Diogo Costa. You know, they've done really well, but Inter have the pedigree. Inter have the players. Have the, you know, the clout exactly to be able to, you know, go to the next round.
All right. Well, Porto have qualified from their last two. Round of 16 fixtures. That was 2019-2021. Back in 2005, they are on to defend their 2-4 title. Was stopped by Inter 4-2 aggregate scoreline. So you reckon there's something of a revenge in there for Sergio Conceição and his boys. All right, talk to us. What you make of the action tonight? Before we step aside, 0700-993-993-993. Do you also agree that Pep Guardiola will be judged, his legacy at City will be judged by his ability to win the UEFA Champions League? Good evening, The Voice. Nothing can tell me about Man United. Let them feel the heat. The way Arsenal felt it all this while. We've been saying it, that VAR in England is rubbish. And they will all say we like to complain. Hade from Igonde. Good evening, guys. I think Pep's legacy at City will not be affected. It will only be a plus. Interesting, Ido. Edwin Asuko says, Casemiro, good player, bad tackler. I used to question his style in the La Liga. He's now getting what he deserves. Football without violence, he says. Emmanuel says, Casemiro is just being lucky not to have received a red card at Madrid. He's reckless. His recklessness can't be covered in the EPL like La Liga. Good evening, Femi and the gang. What's the song you're playing beneath? I guess you were talking about On Top of the World by Imagine Dragons. All right, let's see who's talking to us. Hello, good evening to you. Hello. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Good evening. What's your name?
Hello.
You're sleeping on us. Probably the network, too. Hello, good evening to you. Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. What's your name?
My name is Chinedu.
Chinedu, talk to us quickly.
I'll talk about the first, if you permit me, the Casemiro issue.
Quickly, you have 30 seconds.
Okay, I just think that VAR, yes, not being consistent, but when we complain in one end, okay, and they try to correct it in the other end, and we say it's inconsistency, I don't get it. I think if we complain they didn't get it right on the other part, now they try to get it right, we not start comparing it again with what was gotten wrong that we complained about. So I don't get how we then balance it.
That's organized chaos.
The question should be, is that the right decision? For me, yes. Because as a player, I also play football to a particular level. Sometimes you actually have intention of hurting a player. All you right. want to have a justification.
For it.
Get the ball first, then do the rest.
All right. Get the ball first, like we often say.
Then do the rest. Well, that's that on the Casemiro issue. Because I watched a match, you know, I think it's the Barcelona match.
Quickly.
The ref was just issuing red cards anyhow. If it was in the Premier League, they would say the Premier League is rubbish. Like, in fact, George Yaba was just talking to the referee. You don't even come close to the ball. The next thing, the referee just wrote out red. Take, go. You know, I was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So, it can happen.
All right.
But for Guardiola, I think it's not anybody's problem. When he came, they set a target. Mm. He accepted the target. So, whether the people who employed him have given him a target. So, of course, they'll measure him by that.
All right.
And he knows that.
Chinedu, thank you so very much for your great thoughts. Hello, good evening to you. Two more? One more? Hello, good evening. All right, one more. Hello, good evening to you.
Hi.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, in as much as I believe that Champions League is his biggest stage, because if you don't win Champions League, you are not a big coach here. But Guardiola has won it before.
Yeah.
But that takes me to Chelsea. I will now say that Roberto Di Matteo is the greatest coach that ever coached Chelsea.
Wow. I mean.
Yes, because before he came, Mourinho was there for 3 seasons. And he came back again and spent another 2-3 seasons. He has never won the Champions League. But Roberto Di Matteo spent like 4 months and won the first Champions League for Chelsea. Then are we now going to say that Di Matteo is the greatest coach ever to have coached Chelsea?
All right.
Thank you very much for that Friday. One final message. Toby from Roland says, I agree with Brownish. He won't be satisfied with himself. City have been clearly unlucky not winning the UCL. Thank you so much, guys. We have to go. Sam's in the building already. Your predictions for tonight, Brown, let's go.
Manchester City to win.
All right.
Against Leipzig. 2-0 score. Scoreline.
All right, good. Inter?
Inter Porto. You want me to be battling my good sense versus my bad belly? I expect a draw.
They draw.
1-1 draw.
Inter versus
Porto, yes.
Meaning Inter go through. How do I? Your predictions quickly?
Yeah, Inter 1-1.
Inter 1-1.
City 2-1-3-1.
All right. Yeah. City 2-1-3-1. Brownish, how can we find your social media?
Pretty simple. Go and find at AM Brownish across all social media handles. And I'm going to be right there.
All right. Hudovs.
Hudovs. HUDUVSS.
Well, Big Sam is here. He'll be alongside
some wine.
Yeah. Alongside the Dixie Market for the action tonight. Keep it locked. You can find me across socials at The Voice of Lagos, DEVOYCE. That's how my voice is spelt. Have yourself a wonderful evening. And of course, it's live football coming up next.